Exodus 3, verse 1. Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange thing, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations. Let's get it done and dusted, all right? Congratulations. And if you're English, I really feel for you. Yeah, I share not a common grief, but grief like that too. So, I've just come from Black Rock. And of course, I've been through it all once already. But somebody asked me, did you bring your guitar? Did I bring my guitar? Yeah, did you bring, we were watching and you were playing the guitar. And then it twigged. Brian. I said, no, I'm not Brian. Anyway, it's good to be here, and it's a lovely morning, isn't it? Really, really great. The book of Exodus is divided into two main sections, really. Section 1 is chapters 1 to 19, and it's the story of the rescue from Egypt, slavery in Egypt, and bringing the nation of Israel into their own land, their inheritance. And the reason why God is doing that, the reason why he rescued them, it said over and over and over again in that first section from 1 to 19, let my people go so that they may worship me. And that was the reason why he rescued them, so that they would be his people and that they would worship him. The second section, chapters 20 to 40, is all about, well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to live as my people? And how are you going to worship me? So there's two main sections, but we are still in the early part of that first section. And God calling Moses to be the one who would lead the people out of bondage in Egypt and bring them across the desert to that promised land. Moses is in the desert. He has run away from Egypt, and he is in the desert, and he's looking after the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. As he goes about his work, his attention is drawn to this amazing sight, a bush that is burning. Perhaps not all that amazing, because perhaps in the desert heat, bushes did catch fire, but what's amazing about this particular bush was that although it was burning brightly, it did not burn up. It just kept on burning. And Moses is fascinated by this strange sight as it is described, the bush burning and yet not burning up. And so he says, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Of course, God was using this bush and this fire to get Moses' attention. And sometimes he does that in our lives. He uses something strange, something extraordinary, to get our attention. And we are wise when something perplexes us to turn aside and consider. And that's what Moses did, and because he did that, God spoke to him. God sometimes uses things to get our attention, and when he sees that he has our attention, he speaks. He did that to Moses, and the fire and the bush in themselves were significant. God was saying something to this picture that he was bringing to Moses. And as we read through the accounts, obviously what he is saying is this. Just like this fire keeps on burning and is self-fueling, self-sustaining. Moses, that's a picture of me. I am eternal. I'm changeless. I'm self-sustaining. And just like this sight which you are looking at is quite unnatural, Moses, I am too. I am supernatural. And they are two reminders to us. This sight that is before us this morning of this bush on fire and yet not burning up, that we come to a God who is eternal, a God who is self-sustaining. He does not need anything. He is completely self-sufficient. And he transcends nature. He is above it all. He is supernatural. And Moses comes near, would come near to this sight. And God speaks to him, and he says, and I'd like us to follow, if you have your Bible with you, I'd like us to follow the reading down, because each verse is significant. When Moses saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And this God who is transcendent, this God who is self-sustaining, this God who is supernatural. He comes to an individual and he says, Moses, Moses. He calls him by name. And all that we've said about this amazing God, we can add this to it. Now, this God is personal. He is a personal God. He knows us by name.
Oh, you might say, well, this is just one incident.
Well, the scripture is full of this, that he knows every single individual
by name. He knows about the birds of the air. He knows about the grass of the field. He knows about the lilies. And he knows about you. He is a personal God. It's amazing, isn't it? This God who is over everything, supreme, and yet he knows us by name. Moses, he knows his name. We have, presumably we all have an English Bible, and the title of the book is Exodus. That's taken from the Greek, and we know what Exodus means. It means the movement of people from one place to another. But in the Hebrew Bible, if you were to pick up the Hebrew Bible, and if it had the Hebrew title, it's not Exodus at all. Do you know what it is? Names. Names. It's taken from the opening words of the book. And these are the names. It's all about names. It's about you. And it's about God. Or should I say, it's about God and his name. And about you. And in verse 5, do not come any closer. Moses says, here I am. And verse 5, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moses, I transcend everything. I'm self-sustaining. I'm supernatural. I'm personal. But remember, I am holy. I'm holy. Pure. Perfect. Complete. Moses, as you approach me, just remember that I am a holy God. Verse 6, then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, I am a God who makes agreements. I am a God who makes covenants. I enter into a relationship with people. I am a personal God. I am a relational God. And I enter into an agreement. I make covenants that are binding. And I never go back on them. They are permanent. And as Moses comes before this sight, and as he listens to these words, it's amazing, isn't it? I hope this is, you know these things probably, but I hope we warm to them again this morning. I hope they thrill our being, that our God, although he is so great and mighty and holy, he's personal, and he's a God who enters into a relationship with those who come to him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are not a distant, aloof God. But you're a God who is near, a God who loves and wants to have this relationship with us and calls you by name, calls us by our name. And then we go on to verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned. I am concerned. The word really is much deeper. Like, concerned is a marvelous word, but the word is much deeper. It means I know completely what they are going through. It's not as if I'm hearing this news and, oh yes, that bothers me a bit. I'm concerned about it. Oh no, no. He's in it with us. I am in it with them, Moses. I've seen it. I am concerned. I know firsthand what they are going through. A God who feels for us. A God who sees and knows. Verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. Moses, I am a God who rescues. I'm a God who is near, who's concerned, who's with them in it. But Moses, I have the power to rescue. I know how to rescue. You might have come across that verse in 2 Peter. Our God knows how to deliver the righteous. And then the rest of verse 8, I come to rescue them and bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, and so on. Moses, I am a God who not only rescues, but provides for them. And 9 and 10, and now the cry of the Israelites have come up, have reached me, and I've seen the way of the Egyptians, the oppressed, are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you. Moses, I am a God who has a plan for your life. And I want you to go now to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. A God who rescues, a God who provides, a God who guides us and reveals his way for our lives. And in the face of this revelation, incredibly, Moses says, in the presence of this self-existent, supernatural, holy, perfect, pure, caring, covenant-keeping, rescuing, providing, revealing God, he says, who am I? We are sort of divorced from it. We are looking in from the outside. We say, well, Moses, where's your sense? After what God has just said to you. And even, are you sure you know me, God? But even if you still persist with this idea of sending me, what am I going to say? Who shall I say sent me? And in reply to this question, God says, most unusual thing in some ways, but so rich, such a wonderful reply. God said to Moses in verse 14, I am Moses. I want you to grasp this. I am who I am. I am who I am. In the Hebrew, I understand there's no tense here. In the English, we have it like in the present tense, but there's no tense. It says, I was. It could equally be translated, well, I was who I was. I am who I am. And I will ever be that in the future. I am who I am. So Moses, I'm always going to be self-sustaining, self-existent, self-sufficient. I'm always going to be above the natural, in the supernatural realm. I'm always going to be holy, Moses. I'm always going to be personal. I will always have a relationship with those who come by a binding covenant, by a binding agreement. I will always be involved. I will always be caring. I will always be with them, whatever they are passing through. I will always be like that. I will always provide for my people. I will always guide them and bring them to the place that I want them to be. That's my name, Moses. That's my nature. I am what I am. I am who I am.
Scripture is a complete thing. And what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us in the Old Testament comes to its fullness in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, people from time to time were privileged with these appearances of God. We call them theophanies. But when we come to the New Testament, we have no more theophanies. Do you know what we have? We have incarnation. The God that has been described in the Old Testament is now fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And all that was true of God in the Old Testament is true of this Blessed One, because He is God, manifest in the flesh. He, in other words, is the great I Am. And He calls us by name. Put your name in there instead of Moses. He calls us by name. And He says, do you want the door? Do you want the door to life? Do you want the door to forgiveness? Do you want the door to knowing God? I am the door. I'm what you need. Do you want to know the way to go? I am the way. Do you want the truth in a world that is full of fake news and everything that is wrong? I am truth. Do you want life in all its abundance? I am life. Do you need somebody to look after you and to care for you and to provide for you? I am the Good Shepherd. Do you need feeding along the way, spiritual food? I am the bread of life. Do you need water to quench your deepest thirst? I am the water of life. And when you come to that final enemy, death itself, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, He comes to us today. He calls us by name. And He says, I am. All that you need. I am. Who? I am. Moses, in time, grasped that message. And we too, if we are wise, we come to see that it's not us. It's not all about me. It's all about Him and who He is and what He can do in our lives. Very often we are running on the wrong fuel when we should be running on that holy fire that is our God. I was reading this little snippet from Mere Christianity. I finished with this the other day. God made us. He invented us as a man invents an engine. A petrol car is made to run on petrol. And it would not run properly on anything else. Now God designed the human machine to run on Him. He Himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about Him. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself, because it's not there. There's no such thing. Lord, help me to grasp that You are the only fuel I need
to run for you. Help me not to be like Moses in this respect at this particular time and to think that because I am who I am, I can't do it. If you call me, help me to realize that your name is I Am Who I Am. I was going up the road the other day, and the van in front of me was Fuel Rescue. And it's if you put petrol in your diesel car or diesel in your petrol car, you know, it'll go for a couple of yards perhaps, but then it'll splutter and conk out. And these people, they've latched onto this, and they will come and they'll empty, drain your car of whatever it is, and then put the right stuff in. And God ever says that to us. Listen, just run on the right fuel. And you can change at any time and come to see that all you need is Him. I am who I am. Amen.